Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. In Season 2 of Hacks and Hobbies, we're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around. In this episode, I get to speak with Jake Jordan. He's a solve growth challenge. Wait, he solves growth challenges for cause-driven organizations. But more than this, more than just that, he's the founder and co-host for the Unlearn Show, an amazing show that started over a year ago, and they're breaking bad habits and building new ones. Jake, thank you so much for your time and coming on to the show.
Absolutely, Junaid. Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely. Thank you. So tell me a little bit about your journey and story and how did you get here and what inspired you?
Yeah. So, you know, it's social media got me here where I am today. Mm-hmm. like a lot of us, I've heard, you know, several of your episodes and, you know, most of us end up meeting on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram or some form of something these days.
Yeah.
It's no difference here. And, but personally, you know, I'm very entrepreneurial and my dad's entrepreneurial and kind of a inventor type mind. And, and so, you know, I've just really spent, probably a lot like you, a lot of time trying out new things and putting in a new hobby once a week, once a month, just kind of as it seems fit. Because I love to learn and I love to learn from experience specifically. So I just feel like there's something about actually going out and doing something and trying it out that you just can't learn any other way. And so, yeah, so I've been on an interesting vocational journey. That's unique to myself and probably wouldn't recommend it for everybody, but gosh, it's been a lot of fun and there's been heartache and pain, but it's been a lot of really cool growth moments too. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That's, you know, what I like about what you just said is I like to experience it on my own, right? Mm-hmm. Build that experience or learn it by doing, because a lot of times you could just read books and see how somebody else did it. And what I've heard is a lot of smart people do the book route. Well, maybe I'm not smart because I like to do it my way. Like to experience trauma, you know, firsthand, I guess is the right word.
Yep.
That's really cool. That's really cool. I like it. And so, I see here from your professional history, you've been in a lot of communications and communication. What do you call that?
Roles.
Yeah. And focused on that area. So what is it like? How have you been able to transform that into the different ideas that you come up with? Or the different hobbies that you get into?
Sure. So, you know, I really, there's two things I'm super passionate about in life. And one of them is communication, but particularly why people communicate the way they do. Why do they make the decisions to communicate the way they do? And how do they absorb all types of, you know, visual, audio? Like, I'm just fascinated by people, how the brain absorbs information and makes decisions.
Yeah.
So, you know, in college, I actually was a broadcast journalism major and, you know, did radio and TV and some stuff like that. And then, you know, marketing was really kind of my backup to my backup because originally I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
And that just didn't work out. and then the broadcast was the backup for that to say, okay, well, then I'll just call games for my favorite baseball team, Texas Rangers here locally. And, then I figured out real quickly when I actually got, you know, like we were talking about, I went out and did it and sports radio locally and stuff and out in West Texas that gosh, nobody made any money unless they were in a top five market and they were like the man or the woman.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, well, I can't really raise a family on that. And I honestly want to make more money than that. So now what? Mm-hmm. And so then that's where I really took a deep dive and looking at, gosh, what is it that I'm really passionate about behind this?
Yeah.
And what will intrinsically get me up in the morning so that I'm not like just digging every day for motivation to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of how, you know, I started my foray into like trying 100,000 different things. Cause in my mind, if I could try a bunch of things, then I would find some similarities and some overlap. And,
yeah.
You know, it's, when I speak to students at colleges or, you know, young entrepreneurs and things like that, a lot of times that's what I say is just go try something. And
yeah.
You're going to find out what you like and what you don't like. And there's not a quicker way to do it. Mm-hmm. Or a more memorable way for that matter. And you'll probably make some good friends and network along the way. So that's kind of how it started for me. That's how I got into marketing communication roles. And I started out as an entrepreneur with my family, actually doing a real estate investment. And I was the marketing part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And we were super successful. We happened to be in a really great part of the country at a really great time in the early 2000s for real estate. And that's where I cut my teeth. That's kind of where it started.
Nice. Very cool. I like that. And I really like the point, again, back to do what you want to try. Because people might tell you, oh, this is a place to go, and then you're going to make money, blah, blah, blah. But are you really happy? And what's really interesting is I had a conversation last night, and I was talking to my friend, and they're like, well, you're doing all these things, but which one is going to give you the big money? Mm-hmm. And you know, how are you going to support your family? And those are absolutely positive points, because podcasting doesn't make a lot of money either. Mm-hmm. Unless you're in that top, you know, the top 100 or top 10,
mm-hmm.
Then maybe you have the authority to go and look for sponsors and whatnot. But then it all comes down to, I'm really passionate about learning about myself, learning about other stories, and how I can find a cross section, a point where it just clicks in my head and I'm like, go that path.
Yep.
Love it.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, I think for people like us, it's like any other strength or weakness, it's a pendulum, right? And so one of my weaknesses is doing too much.
Yeah.
And not focusing on one or two things,
mm-hmm.
and really finding out a way to either productize it or monetize it or both.
Yeah.
And then choose whether I want to continue doing it or not, because I have a feeling that you're like me in that mm-hmm. I quickly burn out on things. I like novelty and new things, and I like mm-hmm. experiencing for a while, and some things longer than others.
Yeah.
But then I'm off to the next thing because that's what I like. I like something new and novel, and, there are certain things I've done forever. Like I've always been into fitness, and I love the lessons that fitness teaches you.
Yeah.
Particularly on longevity and consistency and results over time and things like that. But there's not a ton of other things in my life besides, you know, just really important relationships and fitness that I've stuck with outside of, you know, communication and performance. That's the other thing I didn't, you know, really talk about earlier, but that's it. Otherwise I'm, you know, like you're a beekeeper. Like that's awesome. My sister's tried that and she failed, and she may try again, but like, that's cool. That's a conversation starter.
Yeah, absolutely. It's really cool. Like anytime I tell people like, yeah, I'm a beekeeper. It's like, what? How'd you get into it? How did bees just come into your backyard? Did you just put a house out and then they just came in? I'm like, no, it doesn't work that way.
It's not a birdhouse.
It's not a birdhouse. And then they're like, what? How did they come back? Why don't they leave? Well, the queen lives here. Oh, it's like you build a castle, you bring a queen, and now the bees are going to say, unless they decide to leave, you know, swarm out or whatever. But it was a really cool experience getting to beekeeping and just learning about it 7 years ago or no, I mean, it all came down to, okay, local honey is great for seasonal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
And my son has a ton of allergies. Being seasonal allergies, one of the big ones. Mm-hmm. And the allergist was like, you know, local honey is really good. And I was like, okay, local honey, you got to find local honey. And then one thing led to another. There was a Kickstarter campaign going on about honey flow and how it's so easy to like pour the honey out of your beehive. I was like, okay, this looks more easier and easier as I go.
Wow.
But and then finally I had the means and the location to support a beehive. So I got into it last year. I took a class. I, you know, went to all the beekeeper meetings, and they're called beaks because, you know, beekeepers, which is such a long word. So all the beak meetings, and then it was just one thing after another, and then learning, and now I'm a mentor to other beekeepers.
That's cool. Isn't it cool how necessity really is kind of the mother?
Oh my God.
Invention, right? Because like all these hobbies that I pick up, and probably you, come out of some idea of, why hasn't someone fixed this? Or
yes,
I could do this a little bit better and it wouldn't take that long. You know?
Exactly. I love it. It's solving our own problems, right?
Yes.
Solving our own problems. And that's one thing Steve Jobs mentioned when building products. And they're like, we don't ask somebody else what we should make. Mm-hmm. Solve our own problems. And when they came out with the iPod and the iTunes collaboration, they're like, we're solving our own problem. We love music, but we want a way to manage this music easily, mm-hmm. and transfer to our listening device easily. So we built the system. Now, if somebody else likes it, well, hooray.
Yep.
So it just resonated with me, you know, all the things that he's mentioned in his book. And I'm kind of sad that I didn't get to meet him in person, but you know, his work just lives on forever.
Definitely. I mean, most of us have a Mac in our hand today. So
exactly.
If we can afford it.
it's really, really awesome.
Yeah.
So being a communication and marketing, you know, focused, mm-hmm. what are some of the platforms that you found really helpful to, you know, move forward your agenda or move forward what you're passionate about?
So that's a big question, because the longer I've gone, and then maybe this speaks to a little bit more on my journey is, mm-hmm. you know, I do love, I'm a front runner when it comes to technology. So, I mean, I was even on TikTok, you know, like it was like
I was on Musical.ly before it was TikTok. Yeah,
exactly. So it's same here. Mm-hmm. My kids love music. My son's a drummer. So it was an easy transition for us.
But
the tools don't really matter to me as much. They really are agnostic, I believe. And some of them you like and some of you don't. Like the older I get, the more I care about frameworks and processes. Yeah. And that is not me. Like if you know me personality wise, I'm like the thing on the background of my Facebook says I'm the steady spark that equips and emboldens the cause driven.
Yeah.
Like I just love helping people like get a spark, or if they have a spark, pushing them forward, or giving momentum to people, or unleashing momentum for people. Or so like that's like processes are not in my standard personality profile. which kind of leads into like my second passion of just performance. And it's really purposed performance is that I figured out kind of in my mid real estate investing career that scale was important to me because I wanted to make like just tons and tons of money, which it does help you do, right? But because I wanted to spend more time on the things that I was really passionate about inside that business. I'm not even talking about I want to go jump out of a plane, you know, or you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm just talking about like the parts of the real estate investing I enjoyed were the relationship building and the collaborations and the connecting people and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had to find a way to scale my marketing efforts. Mm-hmm. And that was not possible. Number one, from a scale standpoint, because there's just three of us, me and my mom and my dad.
Yeah.
And we each had a very specific role. And then number two, I was not skilled at it to be able to just, you know, wake up and do the right things and go to bed.
Yeah.
And so like my personal, like right now, what I primarily do is I coach and I train executives and their teams, how to basically put a process in place that they can replicate over and over and over and over and over and over. yeah. that helps them get unstuck. So when I say, I help people overcome growth challenges, mm-hmm. it actually doesn't really matter what the specific growth challenge is.
Yeah.
There's a general John Maxwell, Zig Ziglar, process in place somewhere
yeah.
That I have that's mine that says you're stuck in one of these three spots. Now, every different business problem is going to look different, but mm-hmm. the framework doesn't change. And that allows me to go to bed at night and not feel nice. Like did I do my best today for the client. But that only happened because I had to create that for myself.
Yeah.
So that I could do more hobbies, so that I could work on more things in my business that I liked, so that I could go to bed and go I actually did my best work today. I've fulfilled in what I did today.
Mm-hmm.
So, and fulfillment's different, but feeling great about my effort is really kind of what I'm talking about there.
No, I'm right there with you and you're absolutely right. It's having processes in place. You mentioned how
your onboard for your podcast was fantastic. And I could tell it was automated because I used the same type of tools, but it felt really good.
Yeah. And I was that's really interesting. And like you said, as you're growing older, you want those automation in place so you can have more time to do the fun stuff.
Yeah, like this, right?
Like this, exactly. This is the fun stuff of the project. I'm always picking up new stuff from Home Depot or from different places because of a project that I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I was at Michael's the other day and I picked up foam board and painting because I want to make this nice calligraphic nameplate for my sons and my daughter and put it in their rooms. But I just don't have the time to sit down and actually do those things. Right. And then the other day I went to Home Depot and I picked up these wood floor panels because I want to put them up on the wall and it could be a backdrop for my videos when I shoot. It's wow, there's so many projects. There's so many unstarted projects waiting in the house. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. We all have our own piles.
Yes.
Some of them are in our head and some of them are out where everyone can see, right?
Exactly. So once we have these automations in place, now I can go play.
Right.
Now I can go do those projects. And I'm just I'm getting to a point where I'm almost there, right? I'm climbing this hill. Once I'm over the hill, then I can be all right, I'm going to work on this project. Now those are done. I can, videotape it, post it on whatever. And this is what I'm doing. This is what's happening. And then be more active in the social media part of thing and sharing more. And it's just taking a lot of time for me to get to that point. It's crazy. I love it. I love that part of that journey. It's exciting.
It is.
So tell me a little about, you're going to have to forgive me, but I haven't had a chance to watch any of the Unlearn Show episodes. I know.
Nate.
It's really...
All right, I'm going to send you a link to my two favorites.
All right, good. Perfect. Because I have seen a couple of the episodes.
Okay.
Not all the way through, but it's really it's really super powerful. And I know you're in season 3 now.
Uh-huh.
Right. And so how did you get the 6 panelists together? Right? Okay, we're all on the same page.
Yeah.
Chantel, Katie, Lacey, Sunny, and yourself.
Uh-huh.
And it's wow. This is a powerhouse right here.
Yeah, that was really organic. That was not something. It did come from Sunny and I kind of had this. He and I connected first. Out of the group, we're kind of the official co-founders or whatever, because it was all kind of a big organic thing. But Sunny and I were like, hey, we need to do something together. And we both have a real passion for people growing. And so, it's been, like you said, it's been a year and a half almost since mm-hmm. we started. And we really just... kind of like a lot of podcasters I know like to delve into people's journeys.
And
so it became this really easy thing where when LinkedIn released native video, and they were, late to the party on that, but they finally did it and it exploded like everyone knew it would.
Mm-hmm.
Sunny and myself and Chantel and Katie and Lacey were all early adopters. We were all kind of in that first 100, 200 people that got it.
Nice.
And so we were kind of in that first group where we were the only people we saw mm-hmm. on video on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
And so quickly developed this friendship and became fast friends. And Sunny and I were like, hey, look, I have podcasted before. I have this idea that we should start a show mm-hmm. instead of just doing a one-on-one podcast.
Because yeah.
That's kind of everyone's doing that. There's nothing wrong with that. But like, yeah. I would like to actually do a show. Mm. And that way we can say we had the first show on LinkedIn.
Nice.
So that's really honestly how it started. And it was like, okay, what are we already talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, we're unpacking people's journeys. And then, so once again, you know, there's no credit. Everyone gets credit where it's with this big organic thing. But like my thinking when this whole thing started was, we're all kind of contrarians. Like the personalities on the show, we all have this version and experience of our life where we've had to push it back against what the norm is,
yeah,
in some way, shape, or form. And so we were like, everyone's on here learning. Like there's this LinkedIn learning section. It was Linda, and then it was LinkedIn Learning.
Mm-hmm.
What if people had to like undo? What if they had to have unlearn? Because that's honestly sometimes the bigger transformations are like stop believing lies that you've been told, or
yes.
Unlearn these unhealthy things that have taken over your life and made you unsuccessful or unhappy. And so that's it. We just kind of ran with that. And I couldn't even tell you how we all got in the same room the first time.
Yeah.
But I know we did, and we instantly clicked. And
nice.
We had some really fantastic guests on our first season that were just powerhouses already. And it took off, and we had something like 2 million views.
That's amazing.
The first season. And, just because we had a really, I think, novel idea at the right time with some great guests,
mm-hmm.
it did a great part in sharing, you know, the episodes. And I believe in timing. Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, yeah.
Timing. Outliers. Mm-hmm. Talks about people being equipped and have with experiences and then at the right time, do the right thing. And so I feel like that's what a lot of successful people do is they hit a wave at the right time and they have the right experiences and they just take advantage. Right.
Yeah.
So that's kind of, I feel like how it started. Now, if you ask the four other people, they have a different version, right? Which that might be a good idea for a show.
Absolutely.
That, that started. So.
Absolutely. No, that's really, really interesting. And I kept thinking, you know, it's the first show on LinkedIn. Have you, and my mind just goes all over the place about, well, there's so many other platforms that you can have. And sure. I think you put the show on YouTube now also, right?
Yep. Season two, we started putting it on YouTube. And then season three, we got it on Spotify and iTunes and, you know, all the other places.
All the other places. Well, as a video show, I think it would be really good on Amazon Prime also.
Mm. Yeah. So
like
we have
all the three seasons up on there.
We have actually talked to people about that. We've talked to directors and some things like that. But to date, it just hasn't come to fruition. But yeah, we've absolutely thought about making it, you know, something bigger.
Mm-hmm. So absolutely.
It's just probably timing and.
Oh yeah. Timing. Yep. Absolutely. So, another tangent is with Amazon Prime, just like you can post products to sell on Amazon
mm-hmm.
and self-publish through their KDX platform for Kindle,
mm-hmm.
you can also upload videos, short films, feature-length films, TV shows on Amazon by yourself.
I did know that.
That's what I meant.
No, we had actually talked about going with a production company who was
okay.
You know,
that would be a big production.
Oh yeah,
and
there's a whole lot more to that than most people know.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It's so huge. I mean, pre-production is probably 80% of all all it is, and
What most people don't know is that you spend 6 to 8 months in pre-production, and then you spend a week or two shooting the actual show.
Exactly,
like the whole season.
Yeah, the whole season's done in 2 weeks. It's very true. And being a filmmaker myself, we just finished a short film on beekeeping last month, and we're looking to do a longer documentary on it, on the state of beekeepers in, you know, the DMV area, DC, Maryland, and Virginia. It's been a pretty fun experience, and through being in the film industry, I got to meet like a lot of cool people, like Tom Malloy of Bankroll, which is a book on raising money for films and like indie films and whatnot. So,
oh, cool!
That was an awesome chat.
Yeah, that's what kind of like earlier when I just kind of mentioned it in passing is when you go do these things.
Yeah.
You meet people that later on, you just have no idea what type of connection is there. And I host a LinkedIn local here in Dallas-Fort Worth, one of them. We have three because we're so big. But one of the guys that spoke was saying that, like, just be friends. Become friends with people and be genuinely interested in them because they're just giving you all this gold about themselves.
Exactly.
And just be interested and do what you got to do to you know, dial in and listen and jot some notes down if you need to or whatever. But like those opportunities, most of the time in relationships aren't available like today.
Oh my God.
It's future, right?
And yeah. So, it's all
like,
future.
Just like that, right? It's like now you have a connection there. And if you wanted to bankroll something, you could at least start there and say, hey, who do I need to talk to? Right.
Exactly. Exactly. And it's so much fun when you actually dial it in. To being authentic, being yourself, and just talking about and listening in, you know, talking about what you're passionate about. And then you find other people that are passionate about their stuff. And it's just really exciting. Mm-hmm. Got to meet with this one dude, and he's in special effects. It's like, oh, that's pretty cool. What software do you use? Like, no, I don't use any software. I do actual special effects. Like,
movie style,
like all the special effects that we saw on Michael Jackson do Thriller. That's the kind of stuff he's doing. I'm like, holy smokes, that's so exciting. And then he showed me this costume he's built, which is about 10 foot tall. I'm like, yeah, I just did this for fun.
Wow. Yeah, I know. I've got one of those friends. That's crazy. Yeah, his Halloween costumes are like amazing cosplays. Like,
yeah. Like, that's really cool. So, yeah, man. And people give networking a really bad name because of what it has a connotation against around, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But the type of network that you want to do is go to meetup.com. What are you passionate about? Look for that term.
Right.
There's people meeting up about that specific topic. It could be, you know, building a drone. It could be you just have to search, and there's a ton of people meeting about it.
Yep. And that's why I like LinkedIn Locals, because I think that's how that concept started was, hey, let's not come out and speed date, you know, let's actually go take a deeper dive, get to know some people, actually make that part of our fabric and do that. And then, you know, because I was an ad agency for almost 10 years. Marketing director. And, you know, one of the major things that I did differently from a marketing or a networking standpoint for our agency is I didn't go to all the same networking events that all the other ad agencies were at.
Yeah.
I went to networking events for things that employees were interested in, right? Mm-hmm. So you'd go to, you know, Java development.
Yeah.
Type stuff with the design or with the developers. Like, why are you here? You're a marketing director. I'm just here to meet people. Like, I'm just here to get to know what people do and capabilities and learn something, but just develop some relationships, right?
Yeah.
And I just feel like that's such a more organic way to actually do it because of that defensive nature that comes with, hey, I'm going to go to the chamber and there's going to be three people who tell what they do today. We're all just going to scratch each other's back and... Gosh, that's such a small circle and world to live in.
You know, that's a really excellent point. And what's interesting to me is when I went to the two different events that I went to, I got to attend TEDx Ashburn, their first local, you know, TEDx event where they had five speakers, and I introduced myself as a podcaster. Mm-hmm. And when I introduced myself as a podcaster and not anything else, they're like, "Oh, that's really cool." And then I can go to the next point, like, and ask them, "Hey, would you like to be on my podcast?"
Yep.
And it felt so much more genuine. And I'm no longer saying, "Oh, I'm a UX designer. Oh, I also do beekeeping. Oh, I also do," like, anytime there's a ton of things, people, they get overwhelmed.
Yep.
And they're like, "Okay, I don't know what to talk to you about anymore."
Yeah.
Because you're all over the place.
Well, and I think that's one of the things that good people who are good at personal branding and people mm-hmm. who are good at marketing their services do is they may be actually really good at five or six things.
Yeah.
But that's too much. That's too much information for people. And like one of my favorite sales mentors ever, and this is like 25-year-old advice, like when I was a young pup, is that the confused mind says no. It always says no, because your brain, like I don't know if you, StoryBrand is popular right now. And one of the things he says is that the brain is lazy and it doesn't want to expend calories. It's actually designed to be as efficient as possible. So if you make it work, it's going to ignore you if it can. So I think it's a great point that you make. It's that I'm a podcaster and I'm a trainer coach. That's it. Yeah. That's what I do. But hey, we're talking here and I can tell you 10 more things that I've got my hands
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
Right?
No, that's, you know, you put it so nicely, and it connects into one of the TED Talks that I heard, you know, at TEDx Ashburn from Candice Fati, and she talked about the mind a lot and how there's, you know, three parts of our minds. There's the frontal lobe, which processes everything. And then there's the limbic brain, which is the actual processor that, you know, compiles all the information. That's where your intelligence lives. And then there's the defensive brain or the lizard brain, which as soon as something comes in, it flags it as spam, just like the LinkedIn algorithm, right? It spams, it marks it, okay, we have to go further down, okay, figure out what this is about. Is it going to trigger my flee, fight, or freeze emotions, or is everything safe that I can now start processing information? Really good. Really good.
Yep.
And that, you know, just this conversation about is going to help me redefine what my profile is going to say, because right now I'm all over the place.
Yeah.
And so many different things. And it's probably hindering my success and you know, where I want to be.
Well, it's you're being you, right? Yeah. So it's like, it's not like, and we get all this advice that says just be you and be the authentic you. And yeah, but there's only so much the brain can take. There's only so much that you only have so much time. People's, you know, attention span so small that like, you have to hit them with something quickly and then expand. It's a mountain and you start with the tip, right? And people can get to the base eventually.
Yeah.
And you know, a lot of coaching I've done, with executives actually, started with just LinkedIn profiles, just coaching them through that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And the number one thing, it doesn't matter if this person owned a small business and they were a solopreneur or they were the COO of a Fortune 100 company.
Sure.
The same pushback, because we're all human, was I don't want to limit who I work with. Yeah. I want everyone to know that I'm in business. And that's opposite of how our brain works. And it's like this huge contrast, like over and over and over and over and over. I can tell you 1,000 times. Well, I don't want to remove that, because what if someone sees it and I want them to know I do that. Mm-hmm. But what everyone forgets, or they maybe not even heard, is people work with experts. That's who they want, the people they trust who are competent. So if you have the expertise built in your language, all you got to do is build trust then. So I get more business from people who say, "Hey, Jake helped me with X. He could probably help you with X or Y.
Yeah.
than I do going, hey, I do these five things. And it's been proven 1,000 times over by everyone who's tried it. Is as soon as you dial in to I am the guy, girl that does X, I help cause-driven companies solve growth challenges, then guess what? I'm getting video work. I'm getting SEO work. I'm getting work for non-cause-driven companies. Doesn't matter, but because I've shown I'm an expert in one thing, all of a sudden, and I think a saying that kind of is similar to that is that if you want something done, who do you give it to? You give it to a busy person.
Yeah.
Because busy people get stuff done, right?
Yes, they do.
Same concept. Who do you hire? You hire an expert. Oh, they're not an expert in that. No, but they're close enough.
Yeah. No, you never hire a close enough person. And that's a really, really awesome point, because when I wanted my logo done, I didn't just pick any. Like, I asked a question on Facebook and, who can do logos? And then I got tons of messages and they're like, oh, I do all of this stuff. And I also do logo and branding.
Yeah.
Like, no, I don't know if I want that. So then I went on Envato Studio and I found this one person who had done 5,800 logos in the past 5 years.
See?
They're an expert in designing logos.
Right.
So I got oh my God. My mind is blown.
That's why, I'm a performance expert. That's what I do. I'm a performance expert. So I can talk a lot of different ways about performance, but if you go, hey, I'm stuck, I'm hitting the ceiling, I'm hitting this wall.
Yeah.
I need to go see Jake because he helps people do that, right?
Yeah. Oh my God. Thank you, man.
Good. I'm glad to help.
All right. So here's my other journey, right? I've been a user experience designer for the past 20 years or for the past 10 years and a designer for the past 20. Mm-hmm. And again, anytime I'm solving a problem, I ask the problem, okay, what is the problem? How do I solve it? So I'm going through those steps, but I haven't done those same steps for myself.
Cobbler's kids, right? Don't have any shoes.
Yeah. Okay.
That's all of us.
Yep. Okay. Yep. That's fun, man. I love it. Okay. Some of the fun stuff. I mean, we've been talking about a lot of fun stuff, hobbies and mind and how we learn from doing. So since both you and I have gone into many different hobbies over our lives, what is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
Music, for sure. There's just so many great things about what it does for your brain and emotional outlet. And so, like I said, my son's a drummer. And he's picked up piano now too.
Nice.
And I bought a piano last year, actually. One of those ones that looks like a stand-up saloon one that you see in movies. And I started to pick up piano last year just because I thought it would be a good place to start, but I dropped it. But gosh, that's one that I always wished. I picked up a guitar in college and played for 6 months. I've started and stopped some instrument probably 5 or 6 times. I think that's the one for me, because it's just, I know it teaches you so many things, not just how to play the instrument.
Yeah.
And it's such a great outlet. Cause you can't work out all the time and it's not effective and you just can't physically in the day. Whereas if you have something in your house and you can just pick it up.
Yeah.
That's definitely the one for me. Nice. What about you?
And hobby that I got into, I wish I got into music more too. I had picked up, I used to be in a band, many, many years ago. And then, my brother took over. I played the bass a little bit. I couldn't get a handle of the guitar. I always wanted to play the guitar. I always wanted to play the drums. I couldn't get the disconnected rhythm because you got to have,
both hands.
Different rhythm. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So that's something that I wish I got into more, but, growing up in a Muslim family where my dad never really listened to music, it's like, it was always frowned upon. So, and I have a huge passion for music, so I would listen to music, when everyone's sleeping and in my headphones. And So I absolutely love music. I turn the music on whenever I'm working. It helps me. It helps my because I might have ADHD, so it helps my mind focus.
Yep.
And a lot of people say, you know, what are you talking about? You can't focus when you have music on. Then you're just listening to music. I'm like, no. My mind works differently.
Right. Right. It gives it something to occupy it so that you can focus on the thing you're really trying to focus on.
Exactly. So.
Well, and it's amazing, right? Like the studies that come back from like, and this is not a joke intentionally. What's the one where you lose your memory when you get older?
Alzheimer's.
What's that?
Alzheimer's.
Yeah. Alzheimer's. Like the amount of recovery of memory that comes with music therapy.
Yeah.
It does something to calm the mind and unblock things. So it's science, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's preference too, but
yeah. And I think something else that's helping Alzheimer's is virtual reality.
Okay.
And like putting people in places, because a lot of the people that have Alzheimer's can't really move around like they used to.
Right.
So put them in a situation in virtual reality. Well, now it's triggering all sorts of neurons in their heads.
Sure.
And bringing those memories back. So something to look into, I guess. All right. Next question. What is your favorite movie or TV show?
Oh, man. Well, let's see. Gosh.
This is my favorite question, by the way.
Okay.
Because
you learn a lot from these.
I learn a lot. And then there's so many connections you form after that.
Yeah, that's true. That is a good question. So I would say my favorite TV show in recent history is Sherlock, the BBC one with Benedict Cumberbatch.
Mm-hmm.
I love old books.
Yeah.
And I love wisdom, not just knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like that kind of connects back to a day of kind of classic thought and classic that it's just a throwback, but it's, you know, I like how they modernized it. It still kept all the elements that made Sherlock from the books. And of course Cumberbatch is an amazing actor, and so is the guy who plays John from The Hobbit and stuff like that. So that's definitely my favorite TV show. As far as movies go, gosh, that's a big question, because I have such eclectic taste when it comes to music and movies, and partially because the way you and I think probably are built is to enjoy just earth.
Yes.
I think cool things that go on. Some of them are, you know, like gosh, I like the Lord of the Rings stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I like fantasy, and you know, I enjoy Star Wars and Avengers and all the stuff that everyone else does.
Yeah.
But I also like Memento was an interesting movie to me.
Oh my God.
Remember that one where the whole movie's backwards?
Yes.
It goes in reverse. That was really cool for me. I like storytelling that's not mainstream, but doesn't do it just to be weird.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Cause there's so many weird movies out there that they try and break the proven story arc. Connects you, but I like people that get creative with the story arc, because like, you know, when you study this stuff, you know there's the six or seven story arcs that every movie and every book has ever been inside of. And that works because that's how our brain processes information, kind of like you were talking about, right?
Yeah.
But movies like Memento put a new twist on it, so that would be something I really like. I don't watch a lot of TV and movies anymore.
Because
it's hard. There's so much to sift through anymore. And I like to do. So I love to sit down and watch a movie if I know it's going to be my time. But otherwise, I'd rather be out doing something.
Exactly. I totally get you, man. Yep. And talking about Memento, we wanted to use the timeline of Memento as a what do you call it? A model for our short film.
Ooh.
But like Gordon reversed, like you start with the honey and then you go back to the store, like somebody's picking up, delivering the honey. Like, where does this come from?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And go back to the hive. But we just didn't have it written correctly. So we ended up doing a documentary instead, which was still a lot of fun.
Right.
We still kind of got to the bees and
I read they actually filmed the whole thing in correct order and then they went back and refilmed certain parts of it to make it feel better going in reverse.
Yeah. Yeah. So, see, it's nicely done. All right. Next up is, I guess this is kind of related, but who is your favorite superhero?
Okay. So I grew up a Superman fan. I'm a DC guy, actually.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they just haven't.
They haven't hit the nail on the head yet.
Yeah. Some of them are fine, but so more recently, Captain America as part of the Marvel Universe, and there's probably, you see a trend there. Like, I like the good guy, the moral center of the, it tends to be who I relate with. So
nice.
Those are the two that I particularly like.
But talking about the DC Universe, I think they're doing something right, or I don't know if you say wrong, but with Aquaman and I think with Shazam, I think they got a lot better rating than Batman and Superman.
Yeah. Aquaman was okay. Mm-hmm. I still feel like it was really, really formulaic in a way.
Yeah.
And also I grew up with a blonde Aquaman when I was growing up in the comics. So there's just something weird about that to me. I love Momoa. He's awesome.
Yeah,
I loved him for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
That kind of disconnect for me. And then I actually thought Wonder Woman was the best DC movie to date.
Right.
I really felt like they stayed super true to the comics and it felt like Wonder Woman. Like Linda Carter-ish, you know, like, and then I did like Shazam. Shazam was funny. Like it really was entertaining and it felt good. And so I think you're right. I think Shazam's probably one of the better. Oh, and then this has nothing to do with DC, but my second favorite Marvel movie now is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh my God.
That was so good.
It's such nicely done. Really, really nicely done.
Yeah. Cause we have all the Avenger movies, but like, I think it was better than almost all of them.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Here's what I see a pattern in this area is, one, we're so used to watching Superman and Batman for the past 3 decades, right?
Right.
And we have these notions that this is this person. And when they try to redo the movies in their own view, it doesn't jive with us. But these new movies with Wonder Woman and Aquaman and Shazam, their movies have never been done before. Maybe they have. I don't have any recollection.
Right. Yeah, I was talking to my son about that yesterday because we watched Doctor Who together.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love that show.
Yeah, and we love Doctor Who. But nothing against a woman as the doctor, but for 50 years, the doctor's been a man.
Yes.
And so it's just this dissonance in your brain. We were talking about, I was like, don't get me wrong, Jackson. Like, I think she could have her own show. She's a great actress. She's great.
Oh, yeah.
But she's not Doctor Who. And she should be Doctor Who's cousin or Doctor Who's, like they did in Bourne Identity, right? They brought in Jeremy Renner.
Yeah.
He didn't try to be Jason Bourne. No. He was just another agent with his own story and experiences. Mm-hmm. So you're right. There's that cognitive dissonance that once you learn it one way, it's not that I hate your way. It's just, this is the way I learned it.
Just how I learned it. And so they should come on the Unlearn Show, man.
That's right.
I love it. Oh, so Jake, where can my audience find you?
Yeah. So I spend most of my time on LinkedIn and Instagram.
Okay.
LinkedIn, I'm just / Jake Jordan. And I'm bald, so I'm pretty easy to find. If you look up Jake Jordan, I'm the bald guy.
Yeah.
And then I'm Bald Jake on Instagram.
Okay. Perfect.
Yep.
Cool, man. I'll be sure to include the links on the podcast and let you know when this comes out. Thank you so much for your time, Jake. This was a lot of fun. I learned a lot.
Thanks. Appreciate it. I really do. It was a lot of fun.
Awesome. Talk to you soon.
All right. Have a good one.
All right. I'm trying to stop the podcast. My Zoom is frozen.
Is it?
But I hope I didn't lose it. I don't know what happened. All right. Meeting. Yeah, my hope.
It's frozen, huh?
I think some apps might be trying to take over.
Yeah, you can close a couple of these. I've had that happen a couple of times because I record everything on Learn on Zoom.
Yeah.
And so you got it back. Even when I shut it down, it typically saves.
Okay, good. That's what I'm worried about most. Cool, man. Well, this was fun. I hope I can shut this down and we'll talk real soon.
Yeah, man. Appreciate it. Keep in touch for sure.
All right, we'll do.
Take care. Man. Have a good day. Right,
you too. Congratulations, you made it to the end of the episode. Thanks so much for listening to our guest on this episode. Please send me an email at Junaid@hexandhobbies.com to tell me what you loved about our guest today. You could find links mentioned in this episode on the hexandhobbies.com website.